are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening, church. I am very, very excited to be sharing the word that I feel God has put on my heart tonight. I know I generally get excited about pretty much anything, but I really am quite excited about this tonight. So if you know me, you know I think at about a million miles a minute. And so when someone hands me the microphone and says, preach, I feel like I've been let loose to just like explode all over you, so buckle up, guys. But tonight I'm going to be preaching from one main passage of scripture. We're going to be kind of jumping around a little bit, doing some flashbacks and some flash forwards of where it sits in the Bible. But tonight I'm going to be preaching from Joshua chapter 1. So if we could get that up on the screen, which is really tiny, but you can squint and you'll be right. Okay. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves, for within 3 days you will be crossing the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit. Joshua said to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, remember what Moses the Lord's servant commanded you when he said, the Lord your God will give you rest and he will give you this land. Your wives, dependents, and livestock may remain in the land Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but your best soldiers must cross over in battle formation ahead of your brothers and help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he has given you, and they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. You may then return to the land of your inheritance and take possession of what Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on the east side of the Jordan. They answered Joshua, everything you have commanded us we will do, and everywhere you send us we will go. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses in everything. Certainly the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your order and does not obey your words in all that you command him will be put to death. Above all, be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this night. We just thank you for your presence in this place tonight, Lord God. And I pray that as we unpack your word together tonight, Lord God, that we would just have a new revelation of what it is that you are calling each of us into in this beautiful life that you have given us, Lord God. We pray that these words will, that you will anoint these words, Lord God, that they would be able to just go forth and just touch the hearts of people here tonight, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. So now, normally when someone preaches or refers to Joshua chapter 1, they're talking about, you know, be strong and courageous, and it's usually like a really encouraging message and leaves you feeling all really fluffy and feel good. And that's great, and it's very, very true. Be strong and courageous. God will not leave you. But that is not what I'm focusing on tonight. I mean, I do hope you're encouraged, but what I'm focusing on tonight and the title of my message is Prepare to Cross. And the question I want to ask you is, are you willing in life to keep moving forward in the life that God has for you, or are you content to just stay where you are? Are you willing to prepare yourselves to cross over into the promises of God? Because that is exactly what is happening here in this passage. So Moses, who was leading Israel, has died, and now Joshua, he's the head honcho. And God is encouraging him in the first half of this chapter, saying, Joshua, get ready, because I'm about to fulfill the promise that I made to my people. So if we journey back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, God is talking to Moses in a burning bush. And so it says, then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I know about their sufferings, and I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, Hethites, Amorites, and all those otherites. Well, if we want to go back even further, jump in your DeLorean, go back a bit further, and we'll go back to Abraham. Actually, not even Abraham, back to Abram. He wasn't Abraham yet. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18 to 20, it says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, I will give this land to your offspring from the brook of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River, the land of, again, all those people. So this was a promise. The promise to go into this land, the promise for a land flowing with milk and honey, was a promise that God originally made to the people of Israel, made to Abraham hundreds of years earlier. But within the life of Joshua, and for the sake of this message, at least 40 years has gone by since God originally spoke to Moses in this bush. And when he said that he would bring them out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey. And so after 40 years of knowing about this promise of God and not seeing it fulfilled, I would be starting to think, yeah, God, did you really mean that? Or were you just kind of toying with me? Was that really you that I heard? But as we know, our God, he's faithful. He keeps his promises. And so for me, when I think about the promises of God, I think of it in four stages. And this isn't scriptural, well, it's not blasphemous, it's just the way that I think about the promises of God in my head. And so there's four stages. So first of all, we've got a need, then there's a promise of God, then we wait, and then there's the fulfillment of that promise. And so for me, I kind of liken this to if you are ordering food in a restaurant or a cafe or wherever you are, you go through all these stages. So first of all, there's the need, right? You're hungry. That's your need, okay? And then you go in, you sit down, you open the menu and you pick what you want to eat and you order it, and the waiter promises that he will bring you your food when you are ready, when it's ready, all right? So that's the promise, okay? And then comes the hardest part. Is the waiting. If you ever have the pleasure of dining out with me, just a little heads up, in between the ordering and the food arriving at the table, we will not be having any sort of a meaningful conversation whatsoever, because all my, like, I just get really fidgety and like I'm just staring at the kitchen door, like the little hot plate thing where they put the food up, and watching the waiter come out with more food and just like walk past me to the next person. And I'm not paying any attention to you. I might be nodding and saying, occasionally, but all I'm thinking about is the kitchen door and my empty belly and when that food is going to get here. Waiting is really hard when you're expecting food. But then the best part comes, is the fulfillment, is when the waiter, he doesn't go past you. He brings the plate and he puts it in front of you and your meal that you have been waiting for. Sometimes if you're anything like me and it's been a planned outing and you've looked up the menu online days in advance, so you've literally been waiting days for this meal, it's finally here. And so then once I've had a bite, I'm good, I'm happy, we can talk, we can, you know, connect. So the waiter kept his promise to me and brought me the food to satisfy my hunger. Does that make sense? And so the same thing applies here. The Israelites, they had a need, okay? They were in captivity in Egypt. And so God made them a promise. I will bring you into a promised land flowing with milk and honey. And then they waited, and they spent 40 years wandering about in the wilderness. But then God kept his promise to people, and spoiler alert, we haven't gone this far in the story yet. He brought them over the Jordan River from the wilderness into the promised land. And so, in case you couldn't tell from that little anecdote, I'm not good at waiting. I'm a very impatient person. I don't like walking behind slow people, driving behind slow people. It's just I want to get where I want to go, and I want to get there in a timely manner. So I can only imagine that after the Israelites, they have finally left Egypt and they're all pumped and they're ready to go, and suddenly they find themselves stuck in the desert for 40 years. So I would be grumbling and whinging and complaining and chucking temper tantrums left, right and centre as well. But now, after 40 years, Moses has died and finally they are about to enter the promised land, and they're finally about to step into the promises of God and leave the wilderness. The waiting is finally over. And now if I was Joshua and it's 40 years later and God is finally telling me, prepare to cross over, I'm going to take you into the land that I promised you, I'd be like, prepare? Are you serious? I was prepared 40 years ago. Why are you telling me to prepare now? I was ready back when we left Egypt, but God still instructed them to prepare. But here's the funny thing. God picked what was probably the most inconvenient time possible to bring the Israelites across the Jordan River. Because, and we'll read this a little bit later, but at this time of year, when God is talking to Joshua, it was harvest season. And what happened in harvest season was the Jordan River, the banks overflowed and it became considerably wider and considerably more treacherous than it normally was. And so I feel like trying to cross a river with hundreds of thousands of people and no boats is a pretty stupid idea at any time of year. But like if you had to choose, this was 100% the time of year you would not choose to try and cross the river. This was when it was undoubtedly going to be the most difficult. So if I were Joshua, I'd be like, seriously, God, we've been wandering around, we've been ready all this time, and this is the time that you are telling us to cross over. Are you crazy? And so I was reading about this, and in the good old Matthew Henry commentary, I love this, and I'm just going to read what it says because I couldn't come up with a better way of saying it. This was a trial to the faith of Joshua, whether he would give orders to make preparation for passing the river when there was no visible way of getting over it, at least not at this place and at this time when the banks were overflown. He had no pontoons or bridge of boats by which to convey them over, and yet he must believe that God, who had ordered them over, would open a way for them. Going over Jordan was going into Canaan. Going into Canaan was going into the promise that God had made for them. So God was asking Joshua, when he was saying, prepare to cross, will you make those preparations? God was asking Joshua, will you trust me and step into the calling, into the promises that I have for my people, even when it seems crazy? Are we willing to step into the calling and hold to the promises that God has made to us, even when it seems completely impossible? And are we willing to take God at his word? We need to prepare to cross. So how do we actually do that? How do we prepare? Well, lucky for us, if we keep reading, God actually tells us how. So if we go to Joshua chapter 1, but now we're going down to verse 6 to 8, it says, be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or left so that you will have success wherever you go. The book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. So how do we prepare to cross? So point number one, I've only got 2 points. Point number one, get into the word. Do not let this book of instruction, that is the Bible, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Do everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. And I don't know about you, but I love the word of God. I think it's beautiful. And I love how I can have read something countless times and then I read it for I don't know how many times, but then I'll read it again and all of a sudden something new will leap out at me and it'll change the way that I'm viewing my situation. And there's power, there's hope, there's promises in the word of God, promises that we can hold fast to and promises that we can speak over our lives. Because God, if you'll see, God specifically instructed Joshua, do not let this instruction depart from your mouth. Not depart from your eyes, but don't let it depart from your mouth, which implies not just reading the word, not just reading the instruction, but actually speaking the word of God and speaking the promises of God. And as we begin to lean into the word and lean into the truth, knowing that his word is trustworthy and that it will never fail us, we find ourselves preparing to cross over into the calling of God. And, you know, Andy preached an awesome message a couple of weeks ago on milk or meat and how we can't continue to grow and be sustained only on milk. We have to get into the meat of the Word of God, and that's what makes us spiritually strong. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, and this is from the Passion Translation, I really love how it puts it, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. What a description of the Word of God. It will empower you. It will give you strength. That is, it will enable you to be strong and courageous. It will lead you deeper into the path of godliness. It will make you fully mature and, get this part, perfectly prepared. Perfectly prepared, not prepared as in I only studied for the multiple choice section of this exam and I'll wing the essay section, but perfectly prepared for any assignment which God gives you. So when God tells you to cross over the Jordan River in your life, whatever that might look like for you, and you're looking at him going, nah, the water's too high, I don't think that's a good idea, God has perfectly prepared you. And when he says, I want you to take this direction in your career, and you're like, are you nuts? That's career suicide, God. He has perfectly prepared you. And when there's a medical diagnosis and God is asking you to trust him in spite of what you see, he has perfectly prepared you for that situation. And so when he's calling you to step out of mediocrity into the fullness of him, and you're saying, I don't know that I'm the right person for that, God, he has perfectly prepared you. If he gives you an assignment, he will prepare you for it. And the Word of God, it doesn't just prepare us in that it's inspiring and it'll give us a good pep talk when we need one. The Word of God is a weapon which we are allowed to wield. It is the sword of the Spirit. And in Ephesians 6, it says, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's Word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Indispensable weapon and ongoing warfare. These are not fluffy, feel-good, pep-talky kind of words. These are onward Christian soldiers, let's go into battle kind of words. Which brings me to point number two of how do we prepare. So first we've gotten into the Word, and now we are going to get into formation. If we go back to Joshua chapter 1, it says in verses 12 to 15, Joshua said to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, remember what Moses, the Lord's servant, commanded you when he said, the Lord your God will give you rest. He will give you this land. Your wives, dependents, and livestock may remain in the land Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but your best soldiers must cross over in battle formation ahead of your brothers and help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he has given you, and they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. You may then return to the land of your inheritance and take possession of what Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on the east side of the Jordan. Now, pretty much the entire second half of the book of Joshua is like the real estate section of the newspaper, or like the first episode of The Block, where they're like divvying up the apartments between all the contestants. They're divvying up the land of Israel between all the different tribes. But the thing is, three of the tribes of Israel were actually already in the land that was allocated to them. They didn't actually need to cross over the Jordan. So Moses, when he was still alive, and Joshua, they were like, yep, that's great. Good for you, but you're going to come and help us cross over into our land, and then you can go back and hang out in yours. But the thing is, these tribes, they weren't simply called to help them move their stuff across the Jordan River and load stuff in and out of the moving wagons or moving donkeys or whatever they used to move in those days. They were asked to help them fight their way into the promised land. They were asked to go over in battle formation. So preparing to cross the Jordan River was preparing to fight. And so how many of you know that sometimes for us to enter into the promises of God, we've got to fight to get there? Not because God wants to make it hard for us, because God has promised us life and life abundantly, but the enemy has promised us anything but. He will do anything to try and rob us of that He would love nothing more than to see us fail to enter into all that God has for us. The enemy will try to rob us of the promises of God in our lives. He will try to convince you that God is not good. He will try to convince you that God has let you down. He will try to convince you that God has abandoned you. Do not let him. It says in 2 Corinthians, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." We demolish every pretension and make it obedient to Christ. In the Passion Translation, it says that we capture every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, that means that when I am confronted with, "I am not good enough," I combat that with 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, which says that my sufficiency comes from God. When I say, "I am sick," I fight that back with Isaiah 53 5 that says, "By his wounds I am healed." When I feel I do not have, I read Philippians 4 verse 19, "My God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." When I'm feeling alone, I can speak Joshua 1 verse 9, "He will never leave me or forsake me." When I feel afraid, I can speak Psalm 23 verse 4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for he is with me." When I am feeling weary and tired, I speak Matthew 11 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." When I'm feeling hopeless, I can speak Hebrews 6 verse 19, "I have this hope as an anchor for my soul, firm and secure." When I'm feeling unwanted, 1 Peter 2 verse 9 tells me that I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that I might declare the praises of him. When I'm feeling unloved, Romans 8 verse 39 says that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Or 1 John 3 verse 1, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on me." Do you see what I mean when I say the word of God is a weapon? We can take any thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we make it, force it, we insist that it become obedient to Christ. And this is why we need to get into the Word, because it helps us to get into formation. Because when we cross over into the promises of God, once the people crossed over the Jordan River, that wasn't it. That wasn't the end of the story. Everything wasn't all hunky-dory, milk and honey at that point. They crossed over and then they walked around a city for a bunch of days and Jericho fell. And then after Jericho, then they took the town of Ai, and then they took Jerusalem, and then they took another town, and another town, and another town, and they kept on taking city after city and fighting, taking possession of what God had promised to them, taking captive everything that set itself up against the promise that God had made to them. And if we jump ahead in the book of Joshua to Joshua chapter 11, it says that Joshua, there's a big long list of kings, and then it says Joshua waged war with all these kings for a long time. For a long time, even though they had crossed over into the promised land, and even though God had assured them the victory, saying, "I will give you every place where you set the sole of your foot," they still had to fight over and over and over and over and over. And now I looked in a few different commentaries, and there were a few conflicting opinions, but the general consensus is that this long time that is being referred to here was about 7 years. So they wandered in the desert for 40 years and then they got ready to cross over. And then it was actually another 7 years on top of that before they had possession of the land. And now last year, a movie came out. It was a really good movie. And I think it was actually a very important movie that came out. But this movie was Wonder Woman. And I went and saw this at the movies and it blew my mind, guys. I was sitting there, I was like 10 minutes into the movie and I was like, "This is the greatest thing I have ever seen in my life." And like, I'm sorry, but if you're a guy, you just don't know how awesome it was to see an army of like strong women riding on horseback together to defeat the Germans. It was crazy. It was really cool. But as I was watching this movie for the first time, I couldn't help but notice some rather stark spiritual analogies between what was happening in the movie and what we as Christians are called to do in our lives. And there was this one scene in particular, which is my favourite scene in the whole movie, not because of what was actually happening in the scene, but because of what Diana, or Wonder Woman, is doing, is exactly what we need to become brave enough to do in spiritual warfare. And I actually found myself getting quite emotional. And as I was preparing this message, I realised that it fit in pretty perfectly with what I'm going to talk about. So in a second, we're going to watch 2.5 minutes of Wonder Woman. But just to give you a little bit of context of what is happening in this scene, so you're not like, eh, what's going on? So Diana, a Wonder Woman, she's taken it upon herself to single-handedly end World War I because she believes that's her duty to humanity. So she enlists the help of one of the great Hollywood Chris's, Chris Pine, and she asks him to take her to where the fighting is the fiercest. So he brings her to this place, No Man's Land. So No Man's Land, pretty much there's the Allies on one side, there's the Germans on the other, and then there's the No Man's Land in the middle that no man is allowed to cross, hence No Man's Land. So let's have a watch and see what happens.
This is No Man's Land, Diana. It means no man can cross it, all right? This battalion has been here for nearly a year, and they barely gained an inch, all right? Because on the other side, there are a bunch of Germans pointing machine guns at every square inch of this place. This is not something you can cross. It's not possible.
So what? So we do nothing?
No, we are doing something. We are. We just... We can't save everyone in this war. This is not what we came here to do. No.
But it's what I'm going to do.
Love that scene, guys. Like, I've seen it countless times, and it's still every time I watch it, I'm just like, oh, this is great. But pretty much what is happening there is pretty much what was happening in the first half of the book of Joshua. You cannot cross. It's impossible. But she stepped out. She dared to cross over something that was seemingly impossible because she had a confidence and a conviction that that is what she was called to do. And yes, people were shooting at her, but she was prepared. She had her bulletproof cuffs and her shield, which kept her safe and enabled her to cross over No Man's Land. And if you've seen the movie, you'll know that she doesn't just cross over No Man's Land and they've suddenly won the war. She crosses over and then they take a town and then they go and they have another battle and another battle. And they keep fighting and fighting and fighting until they eventually beat the bad guys in the final 15 minutes of the film because it's a superhero movie and that's how they have to end. But do you get my point? So if we go to Joshua chapter 3, and I'm almost done, and we'll go to where they actually crossed over the Jordan River. When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. And can we just stop there for a sec and just point out how awesome it is that the Ark of the Covenant, symbolic of the presence of God, went into the Jordan before them. Because when God leads you into something, when he leads you into a promised land, he doesn't just leave you to fight your way through it by yourself. His presence goes before us. And so now when the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priests carrying the ark, carrying the presence of God, reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the Lord's covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. They took a step of faith. They, bearing the presence of God, stepped into the Jordan River. And when that happened, when they took that step of faith, believing that God, who called them to cross the river, was going to make a way for that to happen, the natural was forced to give way to the supernatural power of our God. And if we jump right to the very end of the book, in Joshua 21, it says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. None of their enemies were able to stand against them, for the Lord handed over all their enemies to them. None of the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. Everything was fulfilled." And when I was going over this afternoon, I read that verse. It actually took me back. I was like, oh my goodness, not one of the promises of God failed. Every single one was fulfilled. And when we have situations in our lives, when we have Jordan rivers in our lives and we feel like God is calling us to cross, when he's calling us to step from where we are presently into the promises of him, into all that he has for us, into that abundant life that he has for us, and we hear God calling and we're looking at it going, no, it's too high. Every single one of the promises of God was fulfilled. He will not call you to it and let you down. He will call you to it and his presence will go before you, and he will enable you to fight and fight and fight using the word of God, so that any time the enemy comes up to you and tries to tell you that wasn't God, you can fight him back with the word of God, because it is trustworthy and it is powerful. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you love us so much, that you don't want us just to get through life okay, but you want us to do life abundantly with you, Lord God, that you have called us to do more, to be more, Lord God, that you have called us to make your kingdom known on earth, Lord God, that you would invite us to be a part of what you are doing. That is so incredible, Father God. And I pray that as we look at situations in our lives, or we listen to what you are telling us in our lives and where you are calling us to go, Father God, I just pray that you would give us that, you would make us bold and courageous, Lord God, that we would be able to trust you and step out into the Jordan rivers of our lives, Lord God, knowing that you have gone before us, knowing that you have called us, Lord God, knowing that you will make a way, Father God. We pray that we would have a boldness to get into your word, a boldness to continue pressing into the things of you and to continue fighting for the things of you, Lord God. We just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that your promises will never, ever, ever let us down, Lord God. We just thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you that we can take you at your word, Lord God. We thank you that we can hold fast to you and to your promises, God. We just thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Amen.